Hello, and welcome to the Reach or Miss Show, the podcast for the customer-focused entrepreneur, where Hayut Yogev speaks with entrepreneurs for entrepreneurs about reaching or missing the critical point of approaching the right customer with the right message at the right time and place, the point where business success starts. And here is your host, Hayut Yogev.
Reach or Miss, Episode 27. David Beebe, Emmy-winning branded content producer, keynote speaker, co-founder, Content Decoded. Declared by Adweek as a branded content master who makes it okay to love marketing, and named by AdEdge as a top 40 forward thinker, risk taker, and rainmaker in marketing, Emmy Award and Cannes Lions winner David Beebe, who founded and led the Disney ABC television group Content Studio and Marriott Content Studio, and produced branded content for Grey's Anatomy, Desperate Housewives, Ugly Betty, Lost, Scrubs, and original series for Showtime, DirecTV, Yahoo, and PBS, is one of the entertainment and marketing industry's most influential producers, brand storytellers, marketeers, advisors, and keynote speakers with real-world experience. David Beebe, it is such an honor to have you here. Welcome.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Oh, this is great. I just shared with our listeners what you have done until now. And I would like to ask you to share with us, what are you doing and most passionate about today, and where are you heading?
Well, you know, I've spent my career really in Hollywood storytelling and brand marketing and at that intersection. And I am passionate about working with brands and helping them really transform marketing into an organization and a strategy that helps win the hearts, minds, and wallets of next generation consumers with what we call content marketing, branded content, or premium story-led content, because that is what consumers want. They don't engage with interruptive marketing anymore, and marketers really need to provide value. So that's sort of my area that I operate in, and it's fun to work with brands to create stories and create platforms that engage consumers globally.
It is fun. And what made you decide to make this switch?
Well, you know, I think it's always been, storytelling has been a part of my career from the beginning, from working in corporations within marketing or the content creation units within there, and working in television for 15 years producing television shows like Grey's Anatomy and Ugly Betty and Lost, producing all the derivative content.
Wow.
So the webisodes, behind the scenes, that's storytelling, right? And that's what consumers are watching. And so you go to the brand side and you apply that thinking of think like a publisher, think and act like a media company, because consumers want content. They don't care where content comes from. They don't care who produces it. As long as it's entertaining and informative and or helps them solve a problem and it's valuable, it's totally fine if it's from a brand. In fact, they understand that brands need to advertise and need to market, but they appreciate when you do it in a way where your content, whether that you want to call it an ad, whatever that creative and content is, provides value to them first versus pitching them features and benefits.
So what is the biggest difference that you see between marketing in other ways and your kind of marketing?
Well, I think it's all the same, really. You think about traditional marketing is about pitching features and benefits. Look at us, look at our product, how great it is, here's what it does. And typically that type of marketing tends to be interruptive in nature, meaning it interrupts what the consumers are doing. That it comes in the form of TV commercials, banner ads, interruptive emails. It's not delivered at the right time and right place. So the change there is to, you can still deliver content, but again, go back to the idea, deliver content that provides value first and entertains and informs the consumer versus interrupting them. So deliver it at the right time, right place, right screen even, where it's providing value. And there's all kinds of other marketing, of course, and we want, content marketing, brand storytelling should connect to all your other marketing you're doing. It's not the only type of marketing, but it should be a big piece of it, and it all works together.
Yeah, but actually the content that we produce today, even more than in the past, but this is everything. Everything is around that. But it's very interesting to look at it and to think about it from another perspective and to find somebody that came from Hollywood and bring this world, this storytelling to the world of brands. I love that. And I want to ask you, who do you consider to be your customers? Who are your customers today? And how do you figure it out? Who are your most potential customers? Who do you want to work with?
Well, I primarily work with brands, because brands are the ones that need your marketers, your advertisers. Now, within there, there's all types of brands, obviously of smaller brands, smaller companies in a sense, all the way to major corporations. But, a lot of times when I talk about storytelling and how your brand should be creating content and, doing even documentaries, webisodes, short films, a lot of the smaller companies, even entrepreneurs, think that it's super expensive, and it's really not. The biggest challenge is shifting the mindset of your leaders, your marketers, your executives, your entrepreneurs to understand to think consumer first. That's the key. Believe it or not, and this is really hard for any marketer or any executive or entrepreneur to believe, consumers in a way don't necessarily care about what you do. They want to know why you do it, how it benefits them.
Sure.
What do they get out of it? So yes, your product, your company, your service hopefully is valuable, so you have a successful company, but there's a shift in the mindset of the way that you engage with consumers now. So I work with all types of companies, from the smallest entrepreneurs to big major global brands, because at the end of the day, the content, essentially, the cost of it, the process is the same essentially. It's shifting the mindset. And there are very, very cost-effective ways and really efficient ways to create content on smaller budgets with smaller teams. You don't need to have the big global resources that brands have.
I do agree. I do totally agree, coming from the big brands to the small entrepreneurial companies. This podcast is all about customer focus. And I would like to ask you for the concepts or beliefs that you see about the way a startup or entrepreneur or any brand as well should actually approach its customers, and give our listeners your best advice for the customer's approach and focus.
Yeah, I think, look, we live in a world today where the customer is king, essentially, right? Your customers, your consumers now control when, where, and how they interact with your brand. They also control what they think about your brand. And brands and companies are not in charge of the message anymore. And it goes back to that experience that you provide customers. That is essentially the brand, and that's what people are going to talk about. And content can actually play a key role in helping have a better experience with your brand, regardless of the type of company it is or the size of the company it is. And so when you talk about customer experience and customer focus, all brands, all companies need to think consumer first. How is this benefiting the customer? Even looking at the process of all your content and communications with them, is it easy? Is it not essentially self-centered on the brand itself and actually providing value? All the way to experiential brands, how can content help make that experience better? And if they do have a bad experience with your company or brand, hopefully the content around it can help fix the problem that they had as well. Yeah, my advice for brands, for companies, entrepreneurs, is you have to shift that thinking to think consumer first in everything you're doing, not just content, but the customer experience. And it's really challenging for entrepreneurs and business leaders to do that because they live in their world every day, right? They live in their company. Sure. They live in their brand. And so it's hard for them to have that consumer perspective. Even when they think that they do have it, it's really hard for them to take off that hat. And mm-hmm. so they're designing things from the inside out versus designing it from outside in. And how are people experiencing my brand? What's the process? How's the content relate to it all? So the biggest thing is going back to what's the purpose of whatever you're doing and how's it benefiting the customer and what's that experience look like from the customer's view in versus your view out?
I so agree. I always like to say that marketing is all about seeing the things from the point of view of the customer or the consumer.
Right.
Since the money we are looking for is in their pockets.
Absolutely.
I want to ask you, you have a lot of successes, but I want to ask you about your biggest, most critical failure with customers, the one that affected your business journey the most. Can you tell us about this?
Sure. I mean, there's so many, even with success, but that's how you learn, right? And it goes back to sure. what I talked about was how are you thinking about the consumer first? And so, you know, a great example is, I worked at Disney ABC Television Group and we were, preparing to launch original content online, you know. This is the year that YouTube came out, and YouTube, there was at that time was uploading videos very simple, and then people started recording videos and building audiences. And so I worked at a big, the big company of Disney ABC, and we were producers of television content and films and everything. And so we saw YouTube as, in a sense, a competitor of taking away views from traditional television, but also the creators that were creating content on there. We would say, oh, you know, those are literally kids in their basements, right? What do they know about creating content? We are the professional producers of content. There's a system, a way that you do it. And so we produced, we ignored them, and we went on to create content ourselves and put it on our players where, you know, at that time they were very clunky players on the website and not a good consumer experience at all. That's an example of essentially being very self-centered from a brand perspective and not thinking sure. what the consumer wants. Now, look back today, those YouTubers who have created channels and their content are very, very successful. They've amassed audiences of several of them, 20, 30, 40 million subscribers on their channels, numbers that a network could only dream of essentially today, right? And they've become
right.
content creators, and they have launched businesses that are million-dollar businesses and a lot more than that, creating content and merchandise from it. So they become the new media companies. Now, but we ignore them. So I would say in that way, imagine if we said, oh, okay, what is this? How could we use YouTube? How could we partner with these influencers, these creators to test something? In that way, maybe there's an opportunity to actually like create like a test type of show and see how people react to it online before you invest the money to go do a TV show. So, but we didn't because, right, it was so new, but it was that fear, right? And I say that sort of fear is a liar, but it's also something that prevents you from innovation. And so that was something that, you know, in a sense was a failure from a customer experience. And as an example, I've talked about, I'm not thinking consumer first. But what would have happened if we had partnered with them way back then? Maybe we would have created new shows or been way ahead and been in a better position than a lot of the television networks are in now.
And do you have any example for feeling the failure or experiment the failure or just missing the opportunity?
Well, I think it's missing the opportunity because you are, you know, you're protecting essentially an outdated ecosystem, right? And a business. And that's where, you know, a lot of brands fail. And it goes back to that idea. That's one of the biggest challenges is getting people to think different and understand now how consumers are in charge and brands don't control it anymore. And that idea that
that's right.
You know, you really have to change because if you refuse to change or refuse to at least try it and explore and experiment, you know, you're probably not going to end up in a very good place down the road and pretty fast. And look at examples like, you know, Blockbuster in the United States. when you know, Netflix came out, and they ignored Netflix and said, "Oh, people are never gonna want to. No one's gonna watch that stuff on. You know, you want to go to the store and get your tape, and they're not around anymore." And so that idea of whatever you do, whether it's a small business or new business, that idea to be open to experimenting and innovating and kind of creating these little labs, in a sense, where you can do that. I'm not saying you have to shut everything down and switch everything that you're doing instantly, but you do have to be out there, again, thinking consumer first, seeing what's happening out there, learning about it, and at least trying it.
And do you have another, some additional example of really feeling failure?
You know, I'm sure there are. Of course there
I'm
are.
I'm sure there are.
But I think, you know, I've been fortunate to work in large brands and other companies that have always afforded the opportunity to experiment. And some of them didn't move as fast as I wanted to, and some of them moved very quickly. So we were able to try new things. And, you know, another example of when from a technology perspective, and when we launched the full episode player on ABC.com, so we were the first television network to launch full episode streaming online independently. So it didn't, you know, didn't go through iTunes. It was all through ABC.com. The technology we used to deliver the video was a technology at the time that essentially took all of the content and essentially chopped it up into a bunch of data to redeliver it. And then it reassembled it on the other side of the users on the computer system, which required the person to actually download a plugin, right? And so, but it was really the only way at the time to actually deliver that an hour's worth of programming, right? To the consumer at that time of streaming. So it was a challenge. Now, it was a horrible consumer experience, but it was the only way we could do it. Now, eventually that evolved, and now it's completely different and delivered without that. But it's going back to that sort of thinking what's the best consumer experience versus, hey, we just want to get this out there. If you could have the best product, the best service, the best whatever in the world, but if your experience, the customer's experience, is awful at getting it, they're gonna turn off and they're gonna go somewhere else. We want the easy button. Everyone wants the easy button, right? Give me what I want it now. And if I have to click one more time, if I have to jump through another hurdle, if I have to call three people, that's where consumers' time is limited, and that's where consumers, you know, that's where they'll go somewhere else. And there is always someone else, another company, another competitor that will be out there that will do it better than you. So that's where you stay on your, you know, stay on the top of your toes and always innovating, always thinking.
Love it. I want now to ask you about the biggest success, ask you to tell the story of your greatest, most significant success as a result of the right customer focus or approach, or something that you did right about approaching your customers.
Yeah, I would probably talk about, you know, real-time marketing and the content studio, what I call at Marriott when I launched them, called MLive. And really, they're brand newsrooms. And so picture 15 to 20 people sitting in a big glass box, essentially like a newsroom with a bunch of screens, a bunch of computers. And what's happening in there is they're listening and watching a bunch of data come into the room, data that is public data, data that's coming from social media networks, data that is their own data, their proprietary data, essentially. Identifying opportunities to engage with consumers in real time. So the idea there is that very customer focused. Marketing is no longer Monday through Friday, right? 8 to 5. It is always on. Consumers are always on. We're all creating content. And I think that brands need to be there not only to respond and engage with consumers around customer service, customer care, but also there's marketing opportunities for brands to engage in trending conversations around pop culture and news and be connected into, you know, what the conversation is at the moment and create content in real time. So that's called Brand Newsroom. And so we built 5 of these around the world, and they're staffed 24/7. And that's what happens in the room. You've got content producers identifying opportunities to engage with consumers, not even your customers necessarily. And listening to, you know, what's trending, what's happening across a bunch of different verticals, and what's the opportunity for the brand to be relevant in the moment, in the zeitgeist of the moment, essentially, in the culture if the brand aligns with it. It's got to, you just can't jump into every conversation, right? But
sure.
That you're there, that you're relevant. And so that's really customer centric, right? It's thinking consumer first.
Definitely.
And so those, like I said, are always on. And there's a bunch of now other data and technology and things in there that help brands connect with consumers in real time. So it's very, very it's very cool. When you walk in the room, you've got social media, brand, corporate communications, digital teams, people from multiple groups working together. And I think that's one of the coolest things. And, you know, in a lot of big companies and even, you know, in smaller companies that are maybe your people are dispersed throughout different locations, people are coming together in one room to make decisions in real time. It's not about let's go have a meeting. Let's have a meeting about that meeting. Let's go ask Bob down the hall what he thinks. Everything's happening in the moment. And that's where we call them brand newsrooms, because it's that idea of being there in the moment, being connected to the culture, the conversation, and engaging with it.
That's great, and it's exactly what you're talking about, taking yourself to the customers, to the place
yes.
that the customers right. are, instead of staying in this room and trying to feed them behind the curtains.
Right.
Love it. Do you have any recommendation of the most effective technological or digital tool that you use for marketing, sales, or for any customer focus?
Well, I think, you know, look, there's so many out there right now. When you look at the marketing
sure.
tech space, it's one impressive and it is just, but it's also very confusing, I would say, right? And
it is.
Because they all do a little bit of something in one area. And I don't think there's one solution that's like a, you know, one size fits all and here's the one sort of tool to use. I mean, obviously, I think that all brands should be using you know, some sort of CRM just to track what their
sure.
customers and the pipeline and everything that they're doing. That's huge. And there's just, I would say, is there's so much data out there that you can use today to really inform your decisions. And I like to say that things should be data informed versus data driven. To me, data driven is you're using all data 100% of the time to make decisions, whereas data informed is you're using data part of the time, but you're also using just a human mindset, right? In a sense.
Sure.
Which I think is so important to do. But, you know, I think there's some really cool technology coming that's going to change the way that marketing works. And I think, you know, certainly in the VR and AR space, I would say probably most in
yeah.
the AR, I think. I think the challenge with VR is that it's still a one-to-one experience, meaning you have to put on a
right.
headset, you're in your world. So it works well for gaming, and there's a lot of ways to add in what I'd say is VR in experiential ways for brands. So like in a hospital, right? There's lots of interesting ways to use VR, but I think AR, where people have their phones or they can engage with it collectively together, like look at the success of Pokemon, and that's a great example, right?
That's a great example.
Versus let me put on my headset and live in a virtual world by myself, you know, collectively. You might invite friends over, but they're not in it, right? It's just, it's a one-to-one.
Sure, it's just you.
The other thing that I think is huge is location-based marketing. So using data that's coming in where you know your consumers are in a certain area. And we did this at Marriott, where we essentially geo-fenced all of the 6,800 hotels that Marriott has around the world and captures all of the conversations that are happening in and around the hotel, meaning that are on social media, regardless if they're tagging you or not, all the public stuff you could capture, right? If someone has their account and it's available, the idea there is you can do that targeting one-to-one marketing. So if you have enough data coming in from multiple sources, you're actually able to say, I know that I have, if you're a hotel, for example, I have 20 platinum reward members in a hotel lobby. Five of them are standing near the Starbucks. Let me send them a message or content that's a free coffee or whatever it may be. So that really location-based one-to-one marketing where people are receiving creative and content based on where they are that adds value to them in the moment. I think there's a lot of opportunity there, and you're starting to see that unfold when you walk into a retail store and they have beacons there and they know that you're in there and opportunities
yeah.
to give you creative your content to help you, essentially, that consumer experience in a store, right?
Sure.
So part of what Marriott does is use a tool called Hyper that actually geofences all the hotels. So based off latitude and longitude data, capturing any social conversation that's happening. And so you could use this if you're an event producer, or even if you're a brand and you're sponsoring an event, you could capture all the social conversations that are happening, regardless if they hashtag you or they tag you in their post. They're capturing that conversation, you know, where you are at that event or at your venue or in your business, and able to engage with you in real time. And then with beacon data, if you're allowing those beacons to connect and you have the app for that store, for that brand, whatever it may be, they're able to tell, hey, you're in that store, you're in that location, and feed you real-time creative and content, essentially, that makes it ultimately a better consumer experience. And you're starting to see that beacon data roll out into all types of retail. Even, for example, the gym that I go to has beacons in it. And when you're about 10 feet away from the gym, it actually notifies your phone and says, welcome, and it knows you're in there, and it will give you like different workout tips. Mm-hmm. Like it's all, you know, so it's about being that connected, and it's going back to that one-to-one,
sure,
better consumer experience. And I think psychologically from a, you know, people say, well, that's kind of creepy. I said, but it could be, but it also helps you have a better experience with that brand, right? And you know that the brand knows you're there. Now, they're not tracking everything you're doing if you're, you know, while you're not in their location. But that idea of if you're willing to give away a certain amount of data, which is your location, which I think all of our phones do, regardless if people realize it or not, anyone can track your location in multiple ways, is that if you're willing to open up a little bit, you're going to have a better experience with that brand.
Definitely. And the feeling, again, that they are coming to you.
Right.
They're listening to you. The brand is listening to you.
They're in your world, right? Versus trying to get them into your world.
Yeah. Do you have any personal book that really impact your customer focus and you can share with our listeners?
Yeah. I mean, my favorite book and an author and even speaker is, you know, Simon Sinek. And his Start with the Why, right? His short speech he does in the book. He's got a couple of books out now, but that idea, that's going back to consumer first, thinking what they want and starting with your why. What's that purpose and defining that? And he talks about in the video and his books is that, you know, everyone knows what you do. Not everyone knows maybe how you do it, but very few actually know why you do it. What's that purpose of your company, of your brand? So start with the why. What's your purpose? And people will connect to that versus actually saying, oh, here's what we do. Aren't we great? Blah, blah, blah. And it's hard for a lot of brands to define their purpose. And that's where I go back with even content marketing and creation is start with your purpose. And if you can define that, you're going to have a much easier time building out that brand and that company, because people are going to connect with your purpose and then they'll engage with what and how you do it.
It's also all about this transparency that we are talking today and being authentic. Is there any specific book that you can recommend our listeners to read?
Yeah. So his book is Start with the Why.
Okay.
And I think, you know, also, you know, the Thank You Economy as well by Gary Vaynerchuk is a great example. That idea that, you know, again, it is about giving value to the consumer first and give, mm-hmm. and eventually you will get back and create a value exchange.
Sure. There are a lot of things that affect in success. However, I want to ask you, what is the one most important factor that affects your successes? What is your key success factor?
I think, you know, the first thing I think for any success is going back to the idea of not only understanding your why and the purpose around it, but really being curious. And that's always been my sort of, you know, I think that's a big part of a success is being curious and being open, and meaning that you're always exploring and discovering what's happening next and not sort of just living in your world. And how do those things affect what you do, right? A lot of people will start a great company, start a great brand, and it's the only world that they live in. And there's so much happening out there, and not only in marketing, but just around the world. So, that idea of thinking globally, like, you know, even where you are, there's so much technology and innovation happening.
Right.
And so it's about looking at other countries, other types of business, and not just at your competitors. So curiosity I think is a big factor of success. And that idea and openness to being able to explore and wonder, why does someone do something that way? One of the, you know, the best things, greatest sort of things that we did at Marriott was the idea that we would create these like innovation labs, and we would do these 1-day tours where we would go explore how, for example, a restaurant operated or a brewery or whatever it may be. It was the idea that you would explore what other industries were doing that really had no connection to your business. How do they operate? Who do they hire? How are their teams set up? Be curious. And I think the more curious you are, the more you'll be open to innovation and trying new things.
Wow. It's a great advice to end the conversation with. And before we say goodbye, I just want to ask you, what is the best way to contact you for brands, people? How do you suggest them to contact you?
My website is a great resource. There's a bunch of blog posts I do on there and talks about workshops I do and keynote speaking engagement. So it's just my name, davidbb.com. And LinkedIn is another great way to reach me. I create content daily on LinkedIn. Yeah. Going back to that idea of giving people value. So I do a lot of videos. I do a lot of sharing insights on there. And LinkedIn's a great, great platform to reach out to me on.
So all of these links will be in the show notes. And David, I would like to thank you so much for coming. I really enjoyed this conversation. I'm sure our listeners will as well. Thank you.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much, and bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And for you, our listeners, until the next time, it all goes down to this. You either reach or miss. Keep reaching your goals and vision. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Reach or Miss Show, the podcast for the customer-focused entrepreneur. You can find all the information, links, and resources that was mentioned at the show in our website, reachormiss.com. See you next week.